think we need some organ and tambourine more often. I'll think about that. It's good to see you this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you humbly but on our knees. Lord, we come before you in all that we can even be in your presence, the holy and righteous and mighty God. Oh God, it's such a blessing to be here with you and under the authority of your word. So Father, we ask, oh, may your word speak to us through the power of your Holy Spirit, whom you have given us and who is in us. Oh Lord, bring us to Jesus this morning. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Imagine with me, if you will, a homeowner, or at least a mortgage holder, going to his bank and saying, well, you know, when I bought the house, I really liked it, but I've had more children, and there's been a lot of advances in society. Things have just changed, and the house no longer makes me happy. So I'm not going to pay you anymore on it. It just isn't fulfilling my needs. What does the bank say to you? They'll pull out a contract that you've signed, right? Imagine with me, if you will, a landowner selling property to someone. And then 3 or 4 years saying, you know, things have changed. My life situation has changed a good bit. And I really could use the land that I sold you. This little deed you have is not really applicable anymore. I don't agree with what I agreed with a few years ago. I'm going to take the land back, okay? What would the landowner look at you and say? Or the judge, maybe, who would preside over the case, would look at you and go, really? Which world are you living in, right? Imagine with me, if you will, I do some work for a construction company. Imagine the state contracting a company to build a road in Plaquemine. Let's say a road we needed. And so the construction company built the road and finished the road and said, we're ready for our final payment. And the state, looking at the contractor and going, yeah, you know, the roads didn't really alleviate as much traffic as we thought it would. So we're not really going to pay you the rest. That would go right to court, right? Let me give you one more. Imagine a man looking at his wife and saying, you know, honey, you just don't make me happy anymore. You've changed. I've changed. Maybe it's best if we separate. You know, those words that I said a few years ago, I admit them then, but things have just changed. You've changed. I've changed. You go to the court, and what does the judge say? No problem. Right? No problem. When we think of vows made, contracts made, there is one contract in the United States that is unenforceable, and it's that of marriage. It's interesting, and in no way do I say this to hurt anyone's feelings or be ugly to anyone who may have experienced a divorce in some way, for some reason, or some fashion. But during the 1960s, a marriage was changed from something that was a binding contract to something that could be gotten out of even without fault. And we called it no-fault divorce, or that's what it's called today. It's called no-fault divorce. Contract changing just because someone wants it to change. And it's really the only contract in our society that happens that way. And some would look back and go, well, it's just best. And others would argue, well, it's not best. It's just, it has led to a lot of more problems than that change was meant to solve. when we begin to think about contracts and vows made, the idea behind a vow is that a vow is something that is permanent. A vow is something that is made, and it is a promise that is meant to be kept. And most of the time in our society, it is that way. But friends, let me tell you, in the scripture this morning, in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, we see that because of sin, because of the heart of man being corrupt, sin will lead us to draw back from commitments and vows that we've made and into changing how we felt that at that moment and reflecting a new way that we feel. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to open up to Ecclesiastes chapter 5, which is where we'll be this morning. Reminding you, we have a theme for Ecclesiastes. If y'all can help me out with it, you've helped me out through five chapters. Here we go. The theme for Ecclesiastes is hope in God. Ecclesiastes is a very honest book. It brings us to the place to show us that's not going to cut it. And that's not going to cut it. And that's not going to satisfy you. And that's not going to make you happy. There is one thing in life that will make you happy, and it is God. And your submission to Him. Work can be depressing. Hope in God. There are seasons in life that change. You might feel young, you might feel old. Hope in God. Death is imminent. Hope in God. Oppression in society is imminent. Hope in God. Pleasure will come, pleasure will go. Hope in God. Today, life comes and goes. Busyness comes and goes. Dreams come and go. Guess what, church? Hope in God. Let's look in chapter 5, beginning of verse 3. For a dream, or what I see is a lofty ambition, when you think about someone who has dreams in life, this is what I think the scripture is going at. There are a couple of different people who may think different things, but it makes most sense to me in context, and we'll talk through what this means. When a dream in life comes, when an ambition comes, it also comes with much business. And a fool's voice comes with many words. When you vow a vow to God, do not delay in paying it, for He has no what?
Pleasure
in fools. Pay what you vow. It is better that you should not vow than you should make a vow and not pay. Let not your mouth lead you into sin. And why do you say before your messenger, before the messenger, it was a mistake? Why should God be angry at your voice and destroy the work of your hands? What is he saying here? This is a tough passage in Ecclesiastes, but I think we can grab it, church. I think we can all grab this one. Grasp it and understand what it's trying to say. Back in verse 3, if you look at it, for a dream comes with much business. And here's where I believe he's going. A dream, an ambition in life comes with a lot of things that it brings to you. A lot of things that you have to do to get that dream to fruition. I love seeing Wes. Where are you, Wes? Wes is going to be swimming in school. Now, I can tell you that Wes has given up a lot of hours in the pool training on his form, on how to swim correctly. Wes has probably had to modify his diet so that he's a better swimmer. He may have even had to wear a funny little hat on his head to cut back drag and wear funny little goggles. He's had to get a lot of stuff together to make him a swimmer, especially at the collegiate level. When we have a dream, it comes with a lot of things that have to happen. A lot of business we must take care of to fulfill that dream. Yesterday, my sons graduated from kindergarten. It's great. And one of the questions that we asked them is, what do you want to be when you grow up? And Ash said he wanted to work at Sky Zone. trampoline park. He wants to watch people jump on trampolines all day. And Nate, not to be outdone, said, I want to be Spider-Man. Big dreams, love these. It takes a lot to accomplish a dream. It takes a lot of investment. And here's what we have. Look at the second half of verse 3. And with a fool's voice come many words. Many times a fool will come and make many large boasts about what he can do. Or what he has done. Or, man, this is what I used to do. I'm a big shot. Or this is what I'm going to do for you. Or, man, I can make you lots of money. Just listen to me. Or I've got lots of influence. Or I'm going to threaten to do this. Lots of words. A fool can't control his tongue. And there's no short circuit between what he's thinking and what he's saying. No filter. And when you come before God, this is in worship, look in verse 4. When you come before God, there are dreams in life. There are words that want to come out. And the warning here by the Ecclesiastic, by the preacher, is this. When you vow a vow to God, don't delay in paying it. When you're speaking lots of word, when you're boasting big dreams, do not forget there is something more important than your words and your dreams. And it is what, church? It's the Lord our God. And so my advice to you, Wes, as you head up north to the Appalachians, there is something more important than your dream. And that is the Lord your God. My advice to Tyler, as you... Where are you, Tyler? Tyler! As you go to school near, there is something more important than those football games. And that's your schoolwork. But then there's something more important than your schoolwork. And that is, you know, it's your God. As we make boasts, as we have dreams, we must not forget our God. Because let me tell you guys, I've been there. And what happens, it's a four-letter word that happens. L-I- F-E. Life begins to happen. And you may have watched in grown-ups, in people you love and respect, you might have watched life happen and a drifting away from priority in God. You may have seen it in people, your friends. You may see it in famous people. Life happens. But when you vow a vow to God, don't delay. For He has no pleasure in the one who delays in fulfilling his vows unto God. And I know, I've talked to both of you. You've given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a vow that you have made. Church family, most of you have sat before a pastor or even maybe me. But more importantly, you sat before God and you said, Lord, I'm giving my life to you. I'm giving it to you, O Lord. And I don't know. Maybe some of you have slipped away from that and drifted a little bit because L-I-F-E comes along. And it begins to pull, and dreams begin to tear, and commitments begin to draw you away, and big boasts, and you've said words that you've... When you vow a vow to God, do not delay in paying it, for He has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you vow. It is not better that you should... It is better that you should not vow than you should vow and not pay. When one joins this church, I'm meet with folks who are want to be a part of this church and want to connect and be a member of this church. And I share with those folks, these are the expectations of a church member. How many of you in this room have met with me about joining this church? I'd like to see some hands. I'd like to see who I've talked to. Okay, so a good number of you. And I should have told you, these are the things that membership is. If you remember that conversation, these are the things to be a faithful church member, to attend church, to be a faithful Christian, rather, to attend church, to give to the church, to be a part of service, be a baptized believer. We've talked through those things. And I know and can imagine that some of us with good intentions have said, yes, yes, yes. And then life comes along and we say, oh, just busy, man, busy, busy. And I look back to verse 3 and go, dreams come with much business. And it's true. But I want to encourage each of us as church members that we have made vows before the Lord to be faithful to Him in His service. And as church members, we want to do the very best we have. We want to honor our vow before the Lord first and foremost. I want to invite you tonight as we talk about membership at our business meeting. Please be here so we can discuss and talk through some things of handling all of that. But this is what happens. We come before the Lord. We've made vows to Him. We've come before Him and said, Lord, I'm interested. Use me, Lord. And then life comes along. And this is a great warning to us. Did you see what He says in verse 6? Pull up verse 6 for us, Amy, if you will. Look at the last half of that verse. Why should God be... Here it is. Why should God be angry at your voice and destroy the work of your hands? Does God get angry? Church, does God get angry?
No.
Yes, He does. Yes, He does. It's pretty clear in the scripture, He gets angry. Look what else it says, though. Destroy the work of your hands. You know, as a pastor, I read a phrase like that and go, what's he saying there? That's one of those that's just pretty clear, right? I don't have to help explain that. I think the idea he's saying is, as we make commitments to God, and then we tell God by our lack of fulfilling those things that, I'm busy, God. Got dreams, got things to do, I've made lots of boasts. I'll come back one day. Do we wonder why sometimes our plans and dreams maybe don't satisfy us? Maybe they're not fulfilled like the way we hoped they would be? Maybe it's the Lord sending us a message and drawing us back to our first love. Drawing us back to what He's called us to do. I believe God in His grace disciplines those whom He, what church, loves. That's what the Bible says. And I believe sometimes we fall flat on our faces because God is gracious to us. Look at the rest of that verse, the first part of that. It talks about a messenger. Let not your mouth lead you into sin. And what I think he's talking about here is, let not your mouth lead you to more lying when the messenger comes to collect on your commitment before God. This is probably someone in the priesthood or the clergy of the time coming to collect and say, yep, you said you'd give this to the Lord. We're here to pick it up. And you go, well, you see, I'm busy. Or, I had some bills that I can't give because of my new building I was working on. I had some bills come up. This is the idea here. Whatever comes in this world seems to take priority over our commitments to God. Why? If we believe who God is and we have faith to trust and know that He's the maker of the universe, that He'll provide for all of our needs, He loves us, He's in sovereign control of all things, why would we turn our nose at Him? And I think probably from experience, it's because we can't see and touch and feel Him. And we can see and touch and feel that bill that's right in front of us. Or that new toy that we have, whatever it may be. Or that person that we care about so much. Listen to the words of the psalmist in Psalm 15. Hear this, church. Oh, man. The character of a Christian man or woman is not to be so similar to the world that we cannot be distinct, that we can't be told apart. If you set a Christian man, a church member from First Baptist Plaquemine, next to any other citizen of Plaquemine, Louisiana, my hope and prayer would be that we would look very different. We as Christians, sometimes we want to just blend in so much. Look at the character in Psalm 15. He's talking about a God-fearing person. A God-fearing person is one, look at that second half, one who swears to his own hurt and does not change. What does that mean? Young folks, gather with me here for a minute. We have lost the art of swearing to our own hurt. I don't know why we have lost the art, but here's the deal. When we make a commitment, sometimes it's inconvenient for us to fulfill that commitment. But the godly man is one who swears to his own hurt. That means it may hurt us to keep that commitment, but a commitment is a what? It's a commitment. It's something that we said we would do. And let me share, church, how I feel, and what I believe the scripture is pointing us to, that we as Christians ought to reflect the character of God Himself. And when Romans chapter 8 at the end, it says we are being conformed to the image of Christ. And let me ask you, when is the last time that Jesus Christ has bailed on a commitment to you? Because I don't think you can find one of those, and I know that I can. So as I stand before God as someone who has bailed on commitments just like you, I must say, oh, God in heaven, give me the strength to swear to my own hurt, to hurt to my own swears, to fulfill and be inconvenienced and do what I said I would do. Friends, I believe our church is not as strong as it could be because we are not as committed as we could be. I believe the Christian church as a whole is not as strong as it could be because Christian people are not as committed as we could be. Let me drill down a little bit more. I believe that our families are not as strong as they should be because we are not as committed as we should be within our families. I believe our personal relationships between each other are not as strong as they should be because we're not reflecting the Lord Jesus Christ in our ability to be faithful and committed. And I don't hear a whole lot of amens out there this morning. I hope that's a sign that, oh man, I've got work to do. As we come before God and we commit to His service, to be His people, doing His work. Church, I'm calling us out to be a people willing to hurt for the kingdom of God. Willing to hurt for the people you're looking at next to you. Because I can tell you, there are things in the life of a church, in the life of a Christian, that are not fun. They're not convenient, and they're not enjoyable. But they are necessary. Yeah. Why should we anger God? Why should we allow Him or give Him reason to destroy the works of our hands to draw us back to Himself? Why? Church, let us keep true to the commitments we've made to our Lord. And oh, college students, the world will come after you. So we get to verse 7. Wes, Tyler, hear these verses. Hear this verse. Just let it sink in a little bit as you graduate to the next phase of your life. What a blessing that is. But hear this. Don't neglect this. Ecclesiastes 5:7. Hear this. For when dreams increase, and when words grow many, there's vanity. And we've defined vanity as the things that pass away. When life comes and dreams and words and ideas, when they come before you, remember, they're vain. Like a mist, they will pass away. And all of the ambitions of that house and that family and that dream that America brings to us to say, go, go, get. Everything that we get will one day be, what? Tell me, church. Gone. Vanity. But God is the one you must fear. When life happens, L-I-F-E, when it comes, and it says, yeah, but, or don't you want, we sit back and we go, oh God, what is honoring in your sight? Oh God, it may hurt me to make this decision, but this is honoring in your sight, because we fear God more than we fear man. Let me tell you what you'll hear when you get to school. You've already heard it. But here's what you'll hear, and here's what we hear. Don't you worry about that mean God in heaven. He's not mad. He loves you. And He's going to bear with you no matter what you do. You don't worry about that. He's going to forgive you. Oh, God's not worried about that. He wants you to be happy. God wants you to be happy. Do what you want. God just wants you to be happy. Let me read you some scripture. Because the world has tried to take the name Jesus and doctor it up a little bit, because the version of Jesus that the scripture talks about is not so friendly. Not exactly what we want. So we fashion our own version of Jesus. But let me give you some scripture, young man, as you head into this new path of life. Hebrews 12:29 says this, God is a consuming fire. That's not in the Old Testament. And some will say, well, Old Testament God was a meanie. When you get to the New Testament, He's just nice. author of Hebrews reminds us, God is a consuming fire. The book of Isaiah. Behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel with wrath and fierce anger, to make the land a desolation and destroy sinners from it. This has not yet happened. This is God coming. For the stars in heaven and their constellations will not give light. The sun will be dark. The moon will not shed its light. I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their iniquity. I will put an end to the pomp of the arrogant. And I would say the ones who've redefined me, who think they're big enough to make me something they're not, will be punished. And I will lay low the pompous pride of the ruthless. God is God in heaven. And as we come before Him and make a vow, there needs to be a fear in our hearts before Him. He is not old grandpa. And old grandpas are great, because they're vital in the role of the grandchildren's lives. But God is not like old grandpa who may not hold us accountable for things. Listen to Deuteronomy. Know therefore the Lord your God is God. He is a faithful God, and He keeps His covenant. He keeps His vow and His steadfast love with those who love Him. And He keeps His commandments to 1,000 generations. God is God in heaven, and He wants to keep His commitment and His vow to you. But look in verse 10. And He repays to the faces for those who hate Him by destroying them. He will not be slack with one who hates Him. He will repay him to his face. You shall therefore be careful to do the commandments and the statutes and the rules that I command you today. Most of the time I've found that the guys who hate God are not ones pointing their finger in heaven and going, God, I hate you. They're the ones that say, you know, I really don't like that version of God, so I'm going to make me a new one. And by their actions, they're saying, I cannot stand God and His character, so I'm going to make me a new one. One that I can worship. One who's safe for me. It reminds me of what C.S. Lewis said. A God is good, but He's not safe. God is not safe. He is not user-friendly. He is God. Can you go back two verses, Amy, to verse 9? Because I want to point something out that's so important for us, church. How do we know the difference? God is a God of love. And yes, 1 John 4:8, God is love. 1 John 4:10, God loved us and sent His Son. What's the difference? It's love, and it's there in verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord our God, your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who what? Who love Him. So here's the call. The difference between those who God is against. God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. And the humble are those who come before God and say, oh God, I love You more than the world. And Tyler and Wes, as you head off into the world, know that your love for God will be tested. Young marrieds, your love for God will be tested. Teenagers, your love for God will be tested. Adults, senior adults, your love for God will be tested. Do you love Him? Jesus told His disciples, if anyone would come after Me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for My sake will find it. Let me share with you the hope that we find in Jesus Christ, and it's this. Holy God in heaven, unchangeable God in heaven, God of the Bible, who is holy and righteous, has received me, a sinful man, because of the blood of Jesus. The Bible says God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not face death, the wrath of God upon me, but will have eternal life. Hallelujah, church. I stand before God a sinner, forgiven by the grace of God. Hallelujah. He is a consuming fire, but not to me because of His Son. Hallelujah. Man, this is good news. Young men, as you head off, the world will try to draw you. But you stand firm in your vow and your commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that day comes, when the Lord Jesus returns and He cracks the sky open and He brings all of His children unto Himself, may you be counted in that group because you have loved the Lord Jesus unto the end. You have denied yourself, you've taken up your cross, and you followed Him. You have not said, well, the messenger comes, but I've got other things. I'm busy. I've got dreams. I've got life happening. May you be found on your knees before Him saying, oh God, by the grace of your Son, I've carried on and carried through with my vow. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ came to save sinners. He died on the cross to save sinners. He was buried in a tomb, as we just sang. He rose from the dead to give us new life. This is joy. And this is a life worth giving away. Young men, enjoy school. Learn, progress, grow in life, mature, so that you can be young men for the kingdom of God, doing His service and doing His work. That's what it's about. Do not settle. Church, may we not settle for the vanity of this world. But may we hotly pursue the presence of our God. Let's pray together. Oh Father, forgive us for forgetting that You are a holy God, consuming and righteous. Oh God, may we be one who come before You, keeping our commitments and our vows to You, not slacking because of life, the vanity of life comes against us. But oh Lord, by Your grace, help us to pursue You, to seek first the kingdom of heaven. Lord, we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.